Are you fluent in Spanish?
I am. Por supuesto que sí. El volcán de Parangaracutrimícuaro.
I'm a kick it like a potato, to minito, la
pedita. Tú sabes, potato y caterpillar.
A pito, a robot, a hop, a
caterpillar.
¿Qué me llamaste? Caterpillar, a
El volcán de Parangaracutrimícuaro es Parangaracutrimícuaro. El que lo pueda es Parangaracutrimícuaro. Será un gran.
Oh, mi toco, linda, me enseñan buena chita. Mi chico, no, ni que me la diga. A tu pito, yo fui tomar.
Ok.
I agree.
You're riding down the Harland Highway.
All right, hold tight on the Harland Highway Show.
Harland Williams.
All right, I think we're ready to rock and roll.
Yeah.
Are you ready? Do you feel ready?
Yeah.
I feel ready.
Okay.
I guess I should tell them where we are.
Yeah, that'd be a great start.
We're on the Harland Highway podcast.
Yeah.
I usually say it in Cajun too. Do you speak Cajun?
A little bit from time to time.
Okay, so let me do the theme music. Yeah. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, well, now that's right. You're on the Harland Highway podcast, right here. And, what a show we got today. Brenda's here. Brenda, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Oh.
Where do I look?
Oh, your camera's over here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody.
But you know what? There is a camera here and here. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to... Who am I to tell a modern-day woman where to look?
Hello, everybody.
Wow, did you just get whiplash, perhaps?
Just a little bit. So I'm used to it.
You were like, hello. Like almost like a pigeon, like... now, I'm not going to butcher you're one of those beautiful people like Sarah Jessica Parker. You go by three names.
Yikes.
And I don't want to butcher it because I'm not good with like long names.
Yeah.
Brenda and then...
Sarai Zuniga.
Oh, see, there's... Folks, can you blame me?
I can't blame you. No, I can't blame
Arlo. Wow. Yeah. You just did a fourth camera.
You did one
that isn't there.
I did.
You went like this, you went... I can't blame Harlem. It was like, you made up your own camera. That's how good you are.
I just thought I saw an invisible one, and I was like, Harlan's trying to surprise me. I'm not going to let him.
You know how to podcast, girl. No one in all the history of the Harlem Highway guests, no one has thrown to a camera that isn't there.
Well, it's there.
It is the... Oh, that one?
It's right here.
Holy God.
It's gone.
Wow, you are good.
It was mine.
Brenda got game. Brenda come into the studio with game here on the Harland Highway podcast. Well, how you doing? Welcome to the pod. It's so good to see you.
So good to see you.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, are you kidding? You look dynamite. Have you ever had that term before, dynamite?
Not said like that.
No?
No, I've heard someone say, you look dynamite.
And like, oh, really? Like a whisper?
Yeah.
Oh, that had to be like at a weird, creepy pickup joint or something.
Yeah. And I was like, what did you just say to me? And he's like, dynamite. I'm like, my name is Brenda.
Yeah.
My name is Brenda.
Yeah.
And he was like, dynamite.
So my name is Brenda, but you can call me nitroglycerin or TNT. Whatever you want. It all ends up with a bang. Too soon. Too soon right away. Inappropriate right away. But wait.
But it was so great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's all right. Thank you. Goodbye. Let's hit the theme music. But wait, why was this guy's voice so husky and weird? Like, he's like, you look dynamite.
I think like, he had like vocal cord damage.
Wait, you got hit on by a guy with a tracheotomy?
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
I know.
You look dynamite.
No, yeah.
More like, you look dynamite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder, this may sound mean.
Yeah.
Why does a guy with a tracheotomy need to hit on women and look for gratification when just like 3 inches below his chin, there's a glory hole?
You know what? He was someone who believed in himself so
much. You just got that. You got that. I mean, take some yoga classes. Take some Pilates. bend over backwards and you're riding all night.
I'm gonna drink some.
Yeah, I think you are you all right?
I'm fantastic.
God, you're dynamite. You're not fantastic. You're dynamite. Was it creepy? Was he in a library? Like, why was he whispering? Were you in church?
We were at a park, and I was running, and that's why I stopped, because I was like, what? And he was like, and I'm like, what?
Oh, he flagged you down to give you a compliment?
Yeah. And he's like, what? Dynamite.
Oh, like, and he whispered it.
I'm like trying to maintain my, I was like, listen, yeah. I don't have time for, what? What is it? He's like, you're dynamite. I'm like, oh. Brenda. My name is Brenda, not Diana. I thought he was saying Diana at first.
Oh, Diana. Yeah. But he was saying dynamite.
Yeah, or maybe he was saying Diana. And maybe now I'm a jerk because I'm making fun of him now.
No, no.
I'm not making fun of him.
No.
I'm empowering him.
Yeah, what were you wearing? Were you wearing anything red? Like,
maybe I triggered something where like, he was like...
If you're in a red tracksuit, maybe he's like, oh, you look like dynamite. You know, like a stick of TNT?
Yeah, totally.
I'm just trying to...
Totally.
Figure it out.
I think that's what it was.
You were wearing red.
I was dressed as a stick of dynamite.
Oh, so it was on Halloween.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
How did you know? Were you there too? You were there. You were in the
bush. I was the guy.
I was the guy.
I was dressed as an old man. Yeah, that was my Halloween. Recognize this voice? You look like dynamite.
Oh, my God.
Hello. Hi.
Oh, my God.
Come on over. Yeah. Hey.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
So good to see you
thank
again.
Thank you, yeah. It's nice to see you. That park was fun, wasn't it?
Wow, that was weird. That was right next to the prison. Yeah.
Are there parks beside prisons?
I mean, this park was.
Yeah.
You were dressed all in orange.
I do
remember that.
Yeah, the orange jumpsuit.
But it was Halloween.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I guess on Halloween, you can't really decipher who's...
Because
a lot of people for Halloween will dress up as bad people.
Right.
Like, even to the point where some will dress up like Freddy Krueger and Jason the 13th. Some people dress up as Ted Bundy. Some people dress up as a jailbird. So, yeah, I guess Halloween's the day where you could get away with...
Hitting on a girl.
Lurking in a park and... Look like dressed dynamite. As a,
just the way you did, Harlan. Oh, my God. I can't believe that was you.
Just the way I did. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, this is awkward.
We all got to grow.
Well,
we all gotta grow.
How's your...
Trach?
Yeah.
You know, I'm a swimmer, so I like to refer to it as a blowhole.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Dolphin.
And I won the backstroke in the 76 Olympics.
That was like a thousand years ago, right?
Yeah, and I didn't have to breathe. Like, all the other swimmers had to, like, go under, breathe. I just went on my back, and I was just like...
That's wild. Just
breathing away.
Won gold,
like, 18 times. I think I even won one gold in track and field, even though I was a swimmer. I just never got out of breath.
That's cheating.
Yeah. Well... You're going to make fun of a dolphin. Maybe this isn't the podcast for you.
I love dolphins. I'm a big fan of dolphins.
Why do you love them? I'm curious because I think I love them too, but why do you, what's your affinity for dolphins?
They're so smart. They're so smart. Like, I mean, I'm dressed as one right now. I'm wearing blue. This is why I'm dressed as a dolphin.
Oh, because you love dolphins so much.
Yeah.
You know,
my hair, it's wavy like the waves.
Oh, your hair is stunning. Like, it's great. Like, it's just, like, I'm going to sound like an effeminate hairdresser right now.
Yeah.
I don't even know where this is coming from, but the volume to your hair.
Oh, thank you.
The volume, the light, the texture.
Thank you.
I mean, it's just fabulé.
Thank you. Your hair is fabulé.
Well, these are plugs.
Oh.
Yeah, hair plugs.
Ooh, okay. Plugs are fabulé.
Yeah. I got them from choir boys from Finland.
Mm.
Got these imported. Yeah.
Mm. Very sharp.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
No, I don't have plugs, but people say I've got good hair.
You have great hair.
Which I'm kind of happy about, you know? I'm like, you got two ways to go as a guy, bald or your hair stays in. So far, my hair's staying in.
Yeah.
But I think you're diverting away from your beautiful crop. Like, you definitely have, there's hair and then there's hair. Like, I would use your hair as, like, a sleeping bag. Like, if I was lost in the woods, if we were hiking, I would just wrap your hair around me to keep me warm. I would use your hair as a carpet if we were in a cabin and there was a bear skin rug, I'd roll up the bear, throw it outside, lay your hair out. I mean, just it's silky, soft.
It makes sense why you changed your voice that day. Yeah. And you were not dressed in a costume, Harland.
It's me.
This is creepy.
You want to go for a swim?
No.
But you know what bugs me about dolphins? Because one of the first things you said is they're smart, right?
They're so smart.
And that's what they say. They say next, not chimps, not gorillas, not monkeys, not pigs, next to humans, they go, dolphins are the second smartest entity on the planet, living creature.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, I go to SeaWorld and I bring my taxes. You'd think something that's like second to humans could at least do my basic taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't even do 2 + 2, the dumb fuck.
You know what? You are judging the dolphin on what it doesn't want to do, Harland.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
So he I'm judging taxes. It on land stuff.
I'm his lawyer, and I'm standing up for this dolphin because you right now are, this is a defamation case.
Whoa.
This is libel on that beautiful dolphin. His name was, that was its name.
Oh my God, I knew his sister.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
And you still have the audacity to speak ill of my client.
Wow.
I am now a British lawyer.
You're a British lawyer, British dolphin lawyer.
And how dare you? Benjamin Franklin.
Right.
Or Albert Einstein.
Albert?
Or Newton. I forgot who said this.
You've also forgot your accent.
I did. Listen.
Yes, I'm listening.
If you judge a fish by the, by its ability to climb up the wall, you are diminishing that fish's intelligence.
Right.
So that's what I'm trying to say about my client.
Well, I think you've just lost your client's case right away because you labeled your client a fish wherein dolphins are mammals, love. Mm. So I'm afraid you're fired.
Objection.
I'm calling Larry H. Parker. You're done.
PSA. Objection.
PSM?
PSA.
PSA what?
Hearsay.
Oh, hearsay.
I don't even know what that means, but hearsay and I object.
Wow. It's just a legal term. You knew hearsay. Hearsay is evidence I think it's evidence that has no proof.
Okay.
It's hearsay. It's like conjecture. It's like, it's something someone said, but there's nothing to back it up. So it's not concrete evidence. It's considered hearsay. It's like ambiguous.
See, and that's that's what you think the definition is. The real definition is you heard me say that I'm representing a dolphin.
Are you becoming British
which
again?
Which is close to a fish. And that's why it's hearsay, because you heard me say dolphin, but now you hit...
Wait a minute. How smart can a dolphin be? If they're the second smartest, they're mammals and they live in the water. Okay, they live in the water and they breathe air. That, to me, is a dumbass. Hey, stupid, you're an air breather. Get up here. We got a lawn chair for you and some Hawaiian punch. Let's go, anus forehead. Do they shit out of their heads? How do we know it's a blowhole? Maybe that's their asshole.
Objection, you are now.
She's British again. Here we go. You drift in and out of British more than Prince Harry at an orgy. Wait, what does that mean?
I'm not trying to be counseled on this podcast, Holland.
Holland?
I'm not trying.
Suddenly I'm Holland, the country of Holland. I'm not trying to be counseled on this podcast, Harland.
I'm not trying to be counseled right now.
Now you're Australian now. Man, you are like the IHOP of accents over there.
Oh, no. Actually, you know, speaking of IHOP and American diners, I used to work at Denny's.
No way.
Yeah, true story. I was a Denny's graveyard server. When I was 19 years old. True story.
I knew a girl who was a waitress at IHOP, and she only had one leg. And I used to ask her, how do you get to work? And she said, IHOP.
Yeah, she was a traitor. She worked at our enemies.
I think you missed it.
Yeah, I did.
I said, IHOP.
No, I heard it. I just pretended I didn't.
Wait, you worked at a Denny's?
Yes.
Well, come on.
Yeah, I was 19.
Why weren't you at Hooters like all the other gorgeous girls?
I object.
Oh, God, I've done it. I've gone stepped in it again.
I object.
You've been objectified. I immediately said you should have been at Hooters because you're pretty. Yeah.
You caught yourself, Harlan.
I caught myself. Yeah, you're right. You belong at Denny's. Mm-hmm. Why were you? Why did you get a job at Denny's?
Because I didn't want to objectify myself.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to prove that I could
just be a blue collar, hardcore, work 'em with the elbow grease
blue
and
blue collar.
Yeah.
I don't have a collar right now, but if I did, it would be blue.
Blue, because it would match your blue dress.
Exactly.
Wait, so how long did you work at Denny's?
I was there for about 2 years.
That long?
Yeah. I started as a hostess, a morning hostess.
Oh, wow. They're the best hostesses of all, the morning ones.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
The later the day goes on at Denny's, the little grislier it becomes.
And you know, we still had to say good morning, even if it was like 5 p.m. and I was there.
No way.
Yeah, we'd be like, good morning. And everyone would look at us like, you're crazy.
So you go in at 5 in the afternoon and you're standing there going, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah.
And isn't that just a way for corporate Denny's to trick the employees so that they work a really long shift? Just tell them it's morning all day. They won't know. We'll squeeze extra hours out of them.
Probably. I mean, I remember going in the morning, and then I would have a graveyard shift at night. And so I would come in like around 9 p.m., leave around 4 a.m., and then sometimes it'd be like 12 a.m. to 7 a.m. Then I'd get like a big cup of coffee
at
the end and then drive to school. And so like...
Wait, how old were you?
At this time, I was 19.
So be honest, because you're obviously a very beautiful girl. You get a lot of sort of blue collar truck driver types. I love Denny's. I used to go all the time. I'd play hockey. We'd go to Denny's after. I love like mostly for their breakfast. I'm not big on the other food they have there, but bacon and eggs. Was there a lot of like sort of like, were there people making comments? Were there people like, hitting on you a lot at the thing?
Yeah, it happened a lot. I mean, dude, there was a lot of people that would dine and dash,
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I would serve 10 top tables. They'd come in, they'd order.
10 people?
Yeah, 10 people. And then they would just dip.
All 10 of them?
Yeah, they would just run. One time I ran after a table. I was like, no, you're not. And I just went running after them. Yeah, it was...
Because, I was going to say, if it's just one person, you can eat at Denny's, you can stuff your face for like $3.99, and you're going to be like, okay. But 10 people, that's at least $20.99. Minimum. I mean, you got to chase that.
Minimum, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And did you catch them?
I remember not this particular table.
I mean, how far could they run if they're at Denny's? They got to be fatties.
They were running pretty far.
They got to be. Most of the Denny's eaters are the fatties.
Oh, we would get some really fit nightclubbers, though, at 2 in the morning. We'd get the 2 a.m. rush.
What do you mean fit?
Like, they were dancing all night.
So they were ripped. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they'd come in and cause chaos.
Really, the ravers?
Yeah. Not the ravers, but the club that was right around us. I worked at the Wilshire and Western location. And there was a club right...
Wow.
This was over a decade ago.
Yeah.
Just kidding. It was 2 years ago. I'm not trying to age myself. Hollywood, I am 21 right now. We're going to have to edit that one out.
Too late. Too late. You busted, love.
Objection. PSA. You just heard me say it, and I take it back. So I remember the club rush...
Yeah.
Would come in and they would cause chaos. They'd get on top of the tables. They'd be
really
just swinging their eggs and hash browns in the air. No, no joke. Like it was madness.
They were swinging their eggs in the air? That's got to hurt when you rip out your own fallopian tubes. Just like, yee-haw! Anyone got some sperms? Full moon over my granny. Wow.
I am not going to get canceled on this podcast.
Too late. We were canceled about 10 minutes ago. I think when we were doing the dolphin glory hole bit, we got canceled right there. So before we keep going, let's tell people a bit about you.
Yeah.
Because you're so interesting because you know, we first met, you do stand-up comedy, mm-hmm. right? How long have you been doing comedy for?
For about 5 years, yeah. 6 years maybe, yeah.
But then let me put my peepers on because your list is like, you do, I want to go through these too, sure. if you're cool with it. So sure. you do stand-up, which is amazing, but you're a mindfulness coach. And a mental health motivational speaker. Mm-hmm. And then you also put down an ADHDR or whatever, right?
ADHDer, what's the...
I don't even know what that means.
Where my ADHDer is at?
Yeah. Is that for people with, like, don't have attention span?
Attention deficit.
Yeah.
Hyperactivity. Yeah.
Wow. But before we do, I want to know, because I don't know if everyone knows what a mindfulness coach is. Do you want to talk about that, or is that like... boring, or do you?
Yeah, are you kidding? No, it's amazing.
Yeah, I'm interested in that. So, but yeah. I've heard of life coaches, mm-hmm. but I haven't heard of a mindfulness coach. Mm-hmm. Explain.
My practice, it deals with. Oh, hold on. I need to do that again.
Are you getting emotional? Oh. Whoa.
So, my practice.
Yeah.
And what I do
is
I really help. A lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Might need to help yourself right now.
So.
Yeah, is it?
Really. So mindfulness coaching, what I do in my practice is I help people with meditation, how to establish practices that are going to help them a lot with overcoming anxiety, depression, stress management, ADHD management. These are all tools that I have used. These are all tools that I use every single day.
Yeah.
These are tools that I have heavily researched for over a decade, and I've studied neuroscience for over 5-6 years. Gosh, I can't even remember now.
Wow.
But, I went to school for psych. Been studying this for
So you're qualified to do this stuff.
Yeah, and I help a lot of people with overcoming anxiety and stress and depression, and again, ADHD management, like learning the tools to help and calm your central nervous system.
Yeah.
Right? So that we can be grounded in the present moment
versus
wherever the mind wants to take us, which the mind can take us to catastrophizing things, or it can take us to the past, but it's about being grounded in the present moment.
Right in the moment. Are you one of these people? It's like, don't dwell on the past. Don't anticipate the future. Just be present. Is that kind of?
Yes and no. Like, yes, okay. Of course. But also there's understanding as to why somebody would dwell in the past and why somebody would be anxiously anticipating the future. And so we dive into the neuroscience behind the brain, and then I help them rewire. You know,
oh, wow.
I help
That's pretty heavy.
Yeah, I help them rewire unhealthy coping behaviors into positive new ones using our brain's neuroplasticity, which is a fancy way of saying our brain can create positive new neurons and connections so that we can create the life of our dreams. And I'm living proof of it. So.
Wow, I want to get into that in a second, but first we need to dissect the term neuroplasticity.
Yeah.
Because I know what it means.
Uh-huh.
But the people watching, Donnie Licorice Lips and Betty Barnacle Bottom. There's Sarah Sunblast Face. Yeah.
I'm a huge fan.
And there's Carol Captain Crunch Twat.
Wow.
Yeah, they all watch. I know what brain neuroplasticity means.
Yeah.
Hello, look at me. But them... If you could tell them what it means, they don't understand the big brain neuroplasticity things.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, everybody?
Yeah, tell them. Hi. And talk slowly maybe to them. And
neuroplasticity is our brain's way to create new neurons and new behavior patterns that we can then shift into our desired reality by creating new behavior patterns that we can then meditate and then do breath work and then do gratitude and then do positive affirmations. And these are all the things that help us really, really, really fulfill our life's mission. Was that slow enough?
That was a little too slow.
Sworn that was pretty slow.
If you could go just one more time, but just slow it up even more than what you just did. Like,
okay.
Like, slow it.
Okay. Great.
I think they got it. I think, now you're.
Plasticity. Okay. So. No.
Wow, you're like the bionic woman, just boop, 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 boop.
So, no, no, no. I'll just
it's a say. Big word. It's yeah. I don't know if I've, to be honest, I don't know if I've ever heard brain neuroplasticity.
Yeah.
Is that for real?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, and all
it sounds like it sounds like a supervillain in like Aquaman comic or something.
That would be so fun, like, by the way.
Brain neuroplasticity, man. But what is it? Like
it's a very fancy word. It's basically a fancy word to say our brain has the capacity to rewire itself and to build and create new neurons, to build new connections in our brain so that we can rewire our unhealthy coping skills and create positive new ones that are going to serve us in this current phase in life that we are in. Because a lot of us have unhealthy coping skills that we
give an example of an unhealthy coping skill for them. Sure. I know what they are, but they don't.
Absolutely. And an example would be heavy drinking.
Okay.
You know, like alcoholism. But yeah, there's a reason why that was
where
developed.
It came from.
Yes, exactly.
But wait a minute, before we dip into that, when you say your neurons get destroyed, can your neurons be destroyed by drinking? And
your brain cells can be destroyed.
Your brain cells are destroyed by drinking and smoking pot and all that stuff.
Well, I don't want to get too into the, like, let me rephrase that. Hold on. Well, I don't know about the whole smoking pot. Like, I haven't researched that.
Okay.
So I can't say that for sure, but drinking say that alcohol does.
Kills brain cells.
Yes.
And do those brain cells ever regenerate, or are they just gone? Are they just history?
You can definitely create new neurons in the brain.
Okay.
But if somebody is a heavy drinker and is, you know, leaning more towards the alcoholism route, then there's damage there, right? But again, I want to speak on what I do know, and I do know that these behaviors, they stem from coping, right? Like they stem from trying to cope with something, trying to cope with stress or trying to cope with anxiety or depression.
Okay.
You know, or even ADHD. Addiction is also, it's a gene, you know? Addiction is...
It can be passed on through...
It can be passed on, but it doesn't mean that you have to...
Become that, fulfill that legacy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like you are in control of your own... Life.
Yeah, I've heard that many alcoholics, it's a gene you can pass on, the alcoholism gene. And for some reason, I remember hearing it's prevalent in women, in like the girl sibling.
Objection?
Yeah.
Objection.
Oh, yes.
That's hearsay, because I don't know where that information came from.
Yeah, I heard, it's coming somewhere in my foggy memory from a long time ago.
Maybe the female dolphins that you used to
know? maybe. But I remember hearing that it popped up. And the reason I remember is because back in college, I dated a girl who I was nuts about, and her father was an alcoholic. And being sort of a young kid in my late teens, early 20s, I heard that. And so now that became a factor in, oh, do I want to go down the road where I had heard some research from somewhere, I can't remember when, this is a while back, where they said more often than not, the alcoholism gene becomes prevalent in the daughters more than the sons. Now, I don't know if it's true, but it's something I heard back then.
Yeah.
And it kind of put me on guard, like, ooh, do I want to keep going down the road with this girl? I mean, it wasn't the only factor, but it was something I never thought about, you know?
Yeah. I haven't read that. I haven't heard
it could
that.
Be totally wrong, but remember, this is something I heard way back when, so I don't want to put that on you. But
And I can speak from experience.
Yeah.
My grandparents, they both male grandparents were heavy alcoholics.
Oh, wow.
But I mean, I didn't develop, my dad didn't develop that gene.
Oh, good.
You know, I didn't develop that gene.
You're never into the sauce?
Or I shouldn't even say develop that gene. I don't know if that's the right terminology to use, but I...
Inherit that gene.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't.
Yeah. So. Oh, good. Did you ever hit the sauce? Did you drink it all? Like just, you know...
Yeah, of course. Like, you know, just...
Yeah, like socially.
Socially, yeah, yeah. Once in a while. But I've never been a drink. I've never been a yeah. big drinker. Like good, that's good, never good. Been my thing. I don't like how yeah. I feel on it personally. Like it's just.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course.
You know.
Yeah.
But again, no. the reason why I even brought that up with yeah. with alcoholism is because these are all coping skills. These are all unhealthy coping skills that yeah. are just masking, you know, a deeper rooted thing that someone's trying to soothe. It's, right. it's a soothing. It's an unhealthy soothing mechanism, like coping. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah. yeah.
And so I help people get down to the root of why, like, where their anxiety is stemming from, and then we help, like.
And did you create your own technique, your own mm-hmm. kind of your own method of doing it? You just mm-hmm. kind of carved it out of trial and error and research and put together your own thing that you can sort of apply en masse to whoever comes in. It's something you found that works with the average person.
Yes.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Thank you. And
that must have taken a lot of work, though, to do that, right? yeah. Like years and years?
Years and yeah. years and years. And amazing. I have over a decade of coursework and wow. schoolwork and, you know, experience with it as well, with my own ways of developing it and studying it, heavy study.
And are you constantly evolving it? Is it keeps changing and you're yeah. finding new add-ons and, oh, that's pretty yeah. incredible. That's some heady stuff.
Thanks.
Yeah. And it's got to be rewarding because so obviously rewarding. You're helping people where a lot of this stuff is addictions and trauma and deep, you know, whatever's going on inside psychologically. So people come to you and is it like a psych where you kind of work with you until you feel there's resolution, or is it like 6 weeks and you're out, or like how do you operate with you kind of like would you stick with someone for 4 years if like Donnie had all these issues and you felt you were getting progress but it took 4 years to break through, mm-hmm. or you like, hey, I do a 6 week thing and then off you go on your own?
Well, great question. Because
thank you.
yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Great question from Arlen.
thank you.
Now
I'm exhausted. I need a nap. Excuse me.
On the podcast, Harlan? On the podcast?
On the podcast. But your answer?
My answer is, yeah. Well, here's the thing. It depends on.
Right.
What they come to me for, but absolutely, I always remind everyone, hey, this isn't an overnight thing.
It's an open door.
This is going to be a long-term journey, and sometimes it can be a lot quicker than you think.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it may take a little longer than you think, and that's okay, because we are rewiring. We are rewiring things. We
yeah.
are learning to soothe in different ways. We are developing the necessary skills in order for us to build that resiliency, that empowerment from within,
wow.
you know, versus just a quick fix. Oh, here's a 2 week thing, and then you're all set. No, this is psyche.
What tends to be the sort of wheelhouse duration of your sessions with people? Like, does it tend to be around 3-4 weeks, or is it longer, or is it days? Is it hours?
So my clients, I see them for 1 hour. Like every session that we have is an hour session.
On a Zoom or in person?
Via Zoom.
Okay.
And then sometimes I do weekly, bi-weekly, and then I can see them like once every 3 weeks, once a month. I have clients where I see once a month.
Yeah.
And it depends. Like I have clients right now who I've been seeing for about 3 years. I have
another
client who I've been seeing for 2. I have a few clients that I've been seeing for about a year, and then I have a client who, in less than a year, was able to help overcome her anxiety, her social anxiety, and her depression through our work together, and then now she's on her way, and I'm so proud of her. Actually, I have 3 clients that just graduated.
Wow. Well, before we get to, because I don't want to wait till the end, like to while we're in this, to tell people where they can reach out to you and find help if they want it or work with you.
Absolutely. You can see me at the Harland Highway.
Hey, here we go. Just come on over here and sit down with us. We'll get you through it.
Yeah. No, I mean it. Thank you to all the listeners, by the way, and for your support. You can find me at official Brenda Z on Instagram and my website, BrendaSarayZuniga.com. But on my Instagram, there's a link tree where you can schedule consultations with me. You can, you know, see more of my work. You can see more of my podcast, my
awesome
content and things like that.
Great. Well, that's good work, man. That's rewarding work when you can help people.
Thank you.
I sort of look at doing this podcast to a degree is there's so many elements to doing it, but one element of it is the joy that I have doing it and talking to people like you and all the guests that come on, and sometimes I'll do a solo episode, but also you get feedback from people who said they've had a horrible day or they were depressed or they were down or they just, maybe they're having a great day and you add to it by throwing some laughter on it. And that's really a rewarding sort of, thing that comes from doing all this. So
you're,
I love
a healer.
It in a way, laughter. Yeah. Laughter is the best medicine. So there is an element of healing to that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if that actually was how that existed in the medical world?
Like, there's new research, by the way. Yes. And there's new, cause I attend a lot of conferences. I just spoke at UCLA. Last year. And they are starting to incorporate laughter and
as a medicine,
as a type of treatment as well. Yes. So they're with mindfulness too. Mindfulness. When I speak on mindfulness and I bring the neuroscience aspect to it, you know,
yeah.
Now they're starting to listen more. But in the past, when I would bring up mindfulness to the medical community, they'd be like, "Oh, pff, that's woo woo. That's, oh, you're just going to sit there and like meditate." No, but it's like as you're breathing, as you're centering yourself, you are. Okay, so what's happening in the brain? I'm about to get real.
Here we go.
Can I get sciencey
for a
second?
Please, here we go. Let me fix my wig.
Okay. Great hair.
Bring it. Thank you. They're
from
plugs.
Finland, right? Made in Finland.
Norway. Yeah.
Not Holland.
Holland. Tomorrow, Holland. Okay. Right now.
Oh, so we switch it up.
Yeah, I like to move my hair plugs around.
Damn.
Sometimes I put them on my ass if it gets cold out.
Objection.
Well, nothing wrong with a hairy ass.
Well, I mean, that's hearsay. Hairsay.
Hairspray. Yeah.
Say hair.
Spray. But wait, before you dip into the science, I just had this vision. If laughter becomes a legit medicine,
yeah,
I'm picturing some guy in the hospital and the doctor walks out, goes, "Excuse me, Mr. Johnson, hate to inform you, but you've got an inoperable cancerous brain tumor." And the guy's like, "Oh my God, is there anything you can do?" And the doctor's like, "Well, sir, knock, knock. Who's there? Inoperable cancerous brain tumor. You're going to die, motherfucker." I mean, we better be careful what we wish for.
Can I hold on to the mic?
Yeah, hold it with both hands. Just cradle it and just keep it away from your tracheotomy hole. Oh, there she goes. There she goes. Yeah. Dynamite.
I'm going to get canceled.
We got canceled like 45 minutes ago. Hey, everybody. Check out my merchandise at harbling.com. Yeah, most people just slap some letters or images on a t-shirt or a hoodie, but not me. Yours truly. Guess what? I draw my own designs at harbling.com. You can see tons of my hand-drawn t-shirts. You can either buy the original or you can buy a print. And man, oh man, wear them loud and proud. I love making these designs for you guys and keeping it personal. So check out the whole catalog. We got hoodies, we got coffee mugs, we got t-shirts, you name it. It's there at harbling.com. Get your Harland original design, wearable art at harbling.com today. And thank you for your support. And I'll just keep the groovy images coming. Can I make another comment too before you dip into the science?
Yes, of course.
Because I want to go back real quick to how we were talking about alcohol kills brain cells. And I've known that since I was a kid. They taught us that in high school and like in grade 10 health, where they're trying to discourage kids from drinking kills brain cells. But then you look at like a raving alcoholic like Hemingway, let's say, who was a known just a lush, a huge alcoholic. And you got to ask yourself, how many brain cells do we have? If a guy like that is like just getting hammersmithed every day, going out and fishing for marlin, like completely plastered, and then he comes back and sits down and writes, you know, The Old Man and the Sea, and you know, all his, what do you write, War and Peace, or all his books, The Flowers in the Attic, not his, but you don't know that. But it makes you wonder, like if it really kills your brain cells, like, isn't it sort of like, you know, when you turn over one of those sand timer things? Mm-hmm. Like, shouldn't you, like, because most people drink. Shouldn't we all be just, like, raving dummies by now? Like, how many brain cells are in there? Trillions?
Great question. I will research that when I get off this podcast.
Right? Because even the most severe alcoholics, like, some of them can be very high functioning and... You know, I think when you meet people that maybe are really severe, like homeless people in the street, they might have mental health issues and they might have thrown in crack and opioids and Oxycontin. Yeah. So those are people that I don't kind of put in that category. They're kind of like off the chart wild cards. Mm-hmm. But just a traditional like drinker, mm-hmm. like, you know, a lot of rock stars, a lot of artists, a lot mm-hmm. of like Jackson Pollock was a big alcoholic, like so many high achievers.
Yeah.
How do they not go from being high achievers to, I mean, I'm sure their health diminishes, but mm-hmm. how is it that their brains don't hit a point where, okay, buddy, you've just drank like 300 gallons of vodka in your life. Mm-hmm. You just diminished over half your brain cells. How are they? I don't know. I guess I wonder if brain cells regenerate or something. I don't know. I don't know that science. Neither do they.
Well, I will say this. I do know some high functioning, you know,
alkies.
Yeah, people who are very successful and who drink a lot, and it's their way of soothing, but they're not positively soothing, and it is affecting them. It is affecting them whether they want to admit it or not. Because somebody is showing up on paper or showing up to clock in doesn't mean that internally they are successful or that they're feeling good internally. You know, here's the thing. People will go through great lengths to pretend like they're okay.
Mask.
People will go to the greatest of lengths to mask.
Yeah.
To make everybody else believe that they're okay and they're able to function and they're able to do things. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, they are, you know, killing themselves on the inside.
Yeah.
And they're deteriorating on the inside. So
yeah, it's like waves on the shore. It's just slowly eroding the shoreline.
It's kind of like,
you know,
when somebody says that a dolphin is stupid because they can't do taxes. Yeah. I'm never gonna let that go.
That's what she said.
Ever.
Now, but let's abandon the science for a minute. Mm-hmm. All this stuff. By the way, great work. Great. So get in touch if you want to work with you.
Thank you.
But the other element, which is, you know, I love it when beauty and brains collide. And you were, because I haven't met a lot of people who have ever been in a legit beauty pageant.
Oh, yeah.
You were like, weren't you Miss, like, what city or town were you? You were in, like, a legit beauty pageant, a few of them, right?
Mm-hmm. I was Miss Toluca Lake in 2018.
Nice.
Miss Toluca Lake, USA. And then I was Miss Burbank in 2019.
Wow.
And I became a semifinalist at Miss California, USA.
Wow.
Two times. Mm-hmm.
What's that like, being in that environment? Because we just see the beautiful women parading out. They're smiling. It's almost like you said, they're masking what's backstage. I remember at one point in my career, I did this show called Star Search back in the 80s with Ed McMahon. And it was kind of the original American Idol, but it was for singers, comedians, models, dancers. Everyone would come. It's like America's Got Talent, but everyone would come out and compete. And I went on as a comedian.
Yeah.
Thinking, oh my God, this is going to be so fun, and I'm doing comedy, and I'm laughing, and there's going to be all the other. And backstage, it was so competitive. A lot of the categories were for kids, like kid dancers, kid singers, And the parents were backstage because they just lumped all the talent together. You get out there and you sing, and this is for your for your future, and this is for your grand. And that kid over there, you can beat. Like, and I was just like mortified because I went in, hey, I'm doing some jokes on television. And so my question to you is,
yeah,
women can be catty. Women can be competitive. Mm-hmm. Was it like that backstage at a beauty pageant, or was everyone sort of friendly, and were they fake friendly, or what was it? You tell me.
Yeah, great question.
Another great one. Question. That's two. Okay, for those of you in podcast land, Joe Rogan, Theo Vaughn, Bill Burr, all you guys with your big fancy podcasts, I just asked two really great questions in the span of 50 minutes. So this was for you.
I didn't know that's where he was going to go, so that's why I did this, and then he did that.
I think you're having a flashback to Denny's. You're like, your scrambled eggs, sir?
This was a trauma response right here.
These are your trauma scrambled eggs? This is my full moon over therapy?
Fantastic.
Oh, see, dynamite. There's another one. Dynamite. All right, so tell me about the backstage hijinks and what it was like.
No, it was so much fun. I actually now am the first ever mindfulness coach. I'm the first ever mindfulness coach for the Miss California USA organization.
Wow.
And I'm the first official sponsor, like, ever. So, what? You know, and I loved it. I had so much fun. Everybody is really kind backstage.
They were.
Really? It's a lot of very beautiful, internally beautiful, empowered girls that...
Okay.
Young women who,
that's good to hear,
truly, like, just want to make this world a better place. And I really love that. And I wouldn't back anything that I didn't believe or was passionate about. And so, I mean, these young women are incredible.
Oh, so, that's really good to hear. But there wasn't like one or two that were just like, you could see them like talking about the other girls or trying to intimidate you. Like, you're going to go out in those shoes? Like, there was none of that. I find it hard to believe in something that's so competitive that there was no kind of, you know, kind of animosity or like kind of nerve rattling type of stuff.
I personally didn't experience
that. Oh, good.
That, you know?
That's good to hear.
I personally didn't, but I mean, in a competitive environment, like you were saying, I can't imagine that at the higher levels, like, there may be something happening.
Yeah.
But I'm just speaking off personal experience. Yeah. Like, I didn't experience any of that.
Great.
But, oh my God.
Here we go. Fun fact,
when you brought up pageants, that's how we met. But I don't know if you remember the first time.
Oh yeah, I was Miss Eagle Rock. No, I was Miss Palmdale that year.
You were.
Is that the one we met at?
I could have sworn it was City of Industry.
Oh no, I know, I was Miss Bakersfield.
Oh.
Yeah, I lost to a truck driver. Yeah, the guy driving a Shell truck. Damn it, I was so close. He had hairier legs and bigger man tits.
We're gonna have to cut that out.
Well.
Speaking of hairy legs.
Yes.
I
have hairy legs.
Used to for a really long time.
Oh, don't ruin it. Don't ruin it. You don't, please don't. That's what we're going to cut out. I'm going to save your. No, you did. You had big hairy legs?
When I was a child. But, like, yes, I looked like Bigfoot's sister when I was in middle school.
Wait, how old are we talking?
I was maybe like 12.
I'm going to newsflash. Not even boys have hair on their legs at 12.
I'm Mexican.
You're a Mexican boy?
I looked like a Wolverine.
You know how I said later I wanted to roll up in your hair on the on the carpet? And I think I'm going to, can I pull that one back a little?
No.
Okay.
Well, no.
Guess we'll be camping on Brokeback Mountain then.
Okay, wait. So wait. Fast forward. Wait.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen.
I'm listening. I got hearing apparatuses on. I'm extra listening.
I'm trying to remember. Okay.
Oh, you said you had hairy boy legs.
Okay, but we'll go back to that.
Oh,
we'll
God, do we have to? What's your butt crack look like? God.
When? Okay. Anywho.
Tell me about, you had the hairy boy legs and you were 12.
I looked like a Wolverine Dora the Explorer. I'm trying to be vulnerable right now.
Wow, you are. Do you want to cry? Let it out. Weep a little. You were Wolverine the Explorer. Oh, little Wolverine the Explorer with a little parrot on your shoulder and your knife fingers. Oh. Yeah.
It was really awful. I had the hairiest legs.
Oh, God. Did you ever rub them together at night and make cricket noises?
Yeah, I would make fires.
You made fires out in the woods by rubbing your hairy boy legs together?
Mm-hmm. And then, fun real fact, as an act of rebellion, I would shave like a little airport landing strip on my leg.
You had a Brazilian on your leg?
Just like, no, it wasn't a full Brazilian, because then that'd be, my whole legs would be shaved. Oh. But like, no, it was like a little
landing
hairless patch.
Oh, so it was a reverse landing strip.
Yeah, to like piss off my mom.
Your mom got mad because there was a bald patch on your leg?
Yeah, because she wouldn't let me shave my legs.
Why?
She
always wanted a boy. Oh, your mother wished she'd had a boy.
So now we're uncovering some trauma on this podcast, aren't we?
Yeah, should I be charging you?
I think so.
Yeah.
She always wanted a boy.
She always wanted a hairy boy. And then you shaved part of it off and you faced her wrath. What'd you ever do with your mustache? Oh. Goodbye, mother. Goodbye, mother. Your little boy must go out into the world.
Maybe my name should be Brendan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Larry.
Never Larry. Come on.
Touchy little boy, aren't you? That's what the priest
I'm
said.
I'm not going to get canceled.
Too late.
No, wow. So,
how hairy are we talking? Like full on, like you could see the hair, or was it that young kid, like sort of half invisible, ciliated hair?
Okay, so picture Bigfoot.
Yeah.
His sister.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Prodafoot.
What?
Prodafoot?
Prodafoot?
Don't women like the Prada footwear? Wouldn't a female Bigfoot be wearing Prada with the red heels?
If you mean Louboutin heels with
no
the red?
No thanks, I'd do it without it.
Didn't you? Okay. It was bad. I would wear shorts.
And it
was so bad. I'm not kidding. I feel like that's where I developed my personality. I had to survive. I was not pretty. I was not attractive.
Did the boys and the other girls like point out that you had hairy legs?
Yeah, all the time. My first boyfriend, I was 12 years old, and I'm pretty sure that the only reason why he said yes, you know, after me asking him, would you be my boyfriend? Like,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was like, don't eat me. And that's the only reason why he said yes.
Or maybe he was gay, thought you were a boy.
Oof. Now we're uncovering even more trauma.
Yeah. Keep it coming, girl. I'm here for you. I have my own methods, too.
Did you also study over 12 years?
Yeah, 15.
15?
Yeah, with a priest.
Wow. Well, if I count my high school experience, I'm not going to... You know what? I was about to age myself, and now I didn't. I'm 21 years old.
Somebody's masking. I know it hurts. Let it out, kid.
I wish I was a boy now.
You are. Look in your underpants right now. It's there.
I am not going to be canceled, Harlan. I take all of that back right now. Oh, my gosh. So that's what my
you don't
mom
get
wanted.
Canceled for having hairy boy legs.
That's what my mom wanted this whole time. She
a
wanted
boy.
A boy.
Yeah.
That's why she wouldn't let me shave my legs.
Are you and your mom on good terms?
Yeah, we're on great terms. We got off on the right foot.
Well, maybe one day you grow the hair back and take her out and play soccer.
We could get off on the left foot too, but we got off on the right foot.
That's what she said.
So that's...
At IHOP.
Denny's. That makes sense why I would go to Denny's. That makes sense why I rejected IHOP for so long.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Good morning. I'm your hairy boy. Can I seat you?
Wow.
Yeah.
It all makes sense, Harland.
Yeah. That's why you're here.
That's why I'm here doing what I do.
You thought you were here to help heal me, and I turned the tables around on you like I do with all my guests. They all leave here feeling fuller, more stabilized, as do my viewers, all seven of them. Tanya Teeth Tunker Tunk, little Eskimo girl, and Billy Blastoff Lips over there in the corner. And there he is, Shane ShamWow Teeth.
Wow, ShamWow.
Yeah, he can really absorb his own saliva.
Wow. ShamWow. Didn't they have dolphins in that ShamWow commercial?
They did, but they dried up.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Can we cut to, because this is the big beauty pageant thing. What is it when the women, like, develop Parkinson's disease when they win? Like, it... I mean, if you, it's always like, like the fingers are gone. Right away, it's like you win, you're getting Parkinson's. They're like, the fingers are trembling, their head's going,
Listen, we are under a lot of pressure up there. Okay, so pageantry is so much more than just standing up on stage and waving. But there's techniques. There's walking techniques. There's posing techniques. There's smiling techniques. There's... You can't touch your hair. You have to stand this way. You have to do this. You gotta you have to, and then the way you speak, you the way you conduct, it's a performance. It's a very technical.
Do us a favor as a little behind the curtain scene. Okay. Go from just a normal face, no teeth, lips closed, into a full on. I'll go 3, 2, 1, and flash the beauty pageant smile as you've developed it. Is that cool?
Sure.
So we can see what that looks like.
I don't know what that looks like.
Oh, I thought you said you had it all like planned out.
Oh yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I have amnesia.
Miss Amnesia 2024, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
So go with closed lips and I'll go 3, 2, 1, and then you flash your beauty queen smile. Ready?
Okay.
I'll let you fix your hair. Y'all set?
Mm-hmm. I gotta then like whap out.
Okay, don't give it away yet. Ready? Okay. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Just kidding. We don't wave. We don't wave. We can't do this.
Stunning.
We can't wave this.
Beautiful. You did it.
We can't wave.
It's beautiful, though. Yeah. Who saw the wave? We were blinded by your beautiful teeth.
All of the incredible. Samantha Tonka Tonk.
Oh.
From Louisville.
Louisville, yeah.
Shane ShamWow saw it.
Oh, Shane ShamWow. No saliva.
Sorry, Shane.
Yeah.
I messed all of that up. I'm sorry. I just keep thinking about how my name should have been Brandon.
Yeah. Shouldn't it be? You said little Mexican boy. Shouldn't you have sort of a more of a Latino name?
My name should have been Brandon.
Little Harry Brandon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so pageantry.
Yeah.
As I was saying,
That scream.
It's very technical. It's very technical. Yeah. And why do we shake when we?
Yeah. What is that like? Stage? Like, why can't? Why do all of them do it? Why can't you just go? I won. What the? You know, like
because we prepped a lot for that moment.
So that's just like a release.
That's a release. We are so ecstatic because it took a lot to get there.
Okay. But you don't see people like at the Olympics. You don't see people at the Oscars. I just won the high jump. You know, I just got an Oscar for Field of Dreams.
Oh, really? Like, really? You've never seen anyone at the Oscars be like, oh my God, never.
No, I'm talking about the traditional.
Oh, like the hands up, like, Well, there's nothing really else we can do if they're putting the crown on our head and then we're just standing there waiting. It's just a release.
Stole it. Well, I did a scene. I did a movie called Rocket Man. And
one of the greatest films ever.
Thank you so much.
Hell yeah.
And we did a scene where it gets announced who the three astronauts are who are going to go to Mars. We're at a press conference, and I'm sitting there. I'm one of the technicians, and I don't think I'm going because you get all these qualified guys. And so the scene was they announce the first two names, and then the third name they announce me. Yeah. And I'm going to Mars. And in the script they had it, my character's name was Fred. When Fred finds out that he's been picked as the final member of the first team to ever go to Mars, he faints. And I said to the director, I said, what is funny about fainting? That was probably done in the first five maybe first comedies ever made by Charlie Chaplin and Buster Keaton. Yeah. Fainting was probably, to see a grown man faint was probably hilarious.
Yeah.
We're in the 90s now, okay? Yeah. What? This is the punchline, fainting? This guy's about to be the first guy to go to another planet.
Yeah.
And he faints. And I said, let me have one take where I'm going to do the beauty queen scream. When he when you announce his name, and he goes, oh, come on. I said, trust me, give me one take. And he was sort of like, and I told the sound guy, I said, you know, the guy with the boom mic, I said, stand back. I am going to scream like I just got about to be hit by a subway.
Yeah.
And so the director gave me one take, and they announced me, and our final member to go to Mars, astronaut Fred Randall. And I just went, ah! I screamed as loud as I, and I did, I borrowed it from that, and it became a trailer moment. It became one of the funniest moments in the whole movie. Yeah. Like, it was like, so I always have kind of a connection to the beauty queen scream.
That is so cool. Yeah, thanks wild. For sharing that.
You're welcome. That'll be $40, please.
That's such a cool tidbit. I didn't know that.
Tidbit. You don't hear that anymore. Tidbit. I hear it sometimes down at the circumcision center, but I like that word, tidbit.
Oh, yeah. You hear that a lot.
They'll throw
down
it around
there.
Down there, tidbit.
No, like a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Maybe too much. Get any tidbits today? Sure.
We have a mountain of them, you
yeah.
know?
Got a whole bucket of tidbits.
Yeah, buckets.
Are we allowed to go down the road? Because, you know, beautiful girl, beautiful guy, talking about beauty, pageants, men, women. Mm-hmm. I do this thing. Mm-hmm. And it can be as blue or as clean as you want it to be.
Okay.
We pull out the love thing.
What?
And what we do is we reach in there. There's words. We each get a word, and then we combine the word to assist our viewers, and it becomes a new lovemaking technique, and we describe how the technique works. So we'll both reach in and grab a word. Okay. Don't look.
Okay.
So I've got a word. Now you go into the love box and pull out a word. Let me put my peepers on.
I'm not trying to cheat.
Yeah, don't cheat. Okay, I got my word.
Okay.
You have your word?
I do.
Okay, read your word out loud.
It seems to be a new word we are developing in the English vocabulary, it is a caterpillar.
Caterpillar.
No, not caterpillar.
Oh, it was misspelled?
Caterpillar.
Mr. Caterpillar.
Caterpillar.
So it's caterpillar. Somebody, probably one of my employees who works here at the Harland Highway, misspelled it. It wasn't me.
It was
one of them. One of my many workers who are working behind the scenes, but in the office upstairs on the fourth, fifth, and sixth floors. One of those guys or girls probably misspelled it, but it wasn't me.
It's okay. It happens.
Yeah.
You better not do anything to them. It happens. It's not a big deal.
We'll have a meeting.
No, it's not a big deal.
I'm not going to fire anyone, but I'm going to reprimand. No. I mean, who doesn't know how to spell caterpillar?
No, that was okay. You know what? Then I take it back. It says caterpillar. It's okay. No, don't.
Okay.
Don't get them in trouble.
No, it's okay. I didn't get them in trouble. I think you did.
I did. Now I feel bad.
Somebody's going to lose their job so beauty boy, Mexican beauty queen boy can live. Now, so my word is potato.
Cool.
So the new sex act is called the potato caterpillar.
Okay.
And how it works is, as you know, a potato has many eyes on it. And a caterpillar has many legs. So what you do, the potato caterpillar is a technique where you cover the eyes.
Okay.
And you spread the legs.
I got a...
Oh, what?
For a second. Cut. Yeah. For a second.
Yeah.
Cut.
Yeah.
Only because this has to be cut. Eyes that are going to be watching. Talk about
like spreading caterpillar legs.
I'm so done. potato.
Wow.
Hola, soy Dora.
Can you say that again as a Mexican boy?
Hola, soy Dora.
Are you fluent in Spanish?
I am. Por supuesto que sí. El volcán de Parangaracutrimícuaro.
Ma che la capoccia di Domenico, la patita.
Tu sabes, potato y carapilar.
La pito a roba di IHOP a
Catamatana. Che mi chiamaste?
Catapilla martito a martito per abortos.
El volcán de Parangaracutrimícuaro se es Parangaracutrimícuaro. Que lo puedes Parangaracutrimícuarar, será un gran.
Oh, mi toco lì, ho mentirato una notita. Mi chiamo Rone, che me la arriva. Tu mi dico, tu gli ho capito bene.
Ok.
I agree.
I agree. That was a...
Are we shaking?
No, I'm handing you a Moons of Miami on my hand. Yes, we're shaking. What do you think?
Wait, we're shaking. Okay. Ah! That's how you shake. You're like, hey, let's shake on that. Ah! All right, we got one more thing, and this one's totally PG. This is our final segment. By the way, what a pleasure having you here. How fun.
You're
how
amazing, fun. Art. Thank you You're for amazing. Having me.
So this is pure PG. This is we do this with every guest. It's called Words from a Wooden Shoe.
Okay.
This is an authentic Dutch clog, same place I got my hair plugs. Insider words. You reach in, pull out a word, and see if something, that word, somewhere in your journey in life, an experience, a moment, a memory is spurred or spawned by that word. And you can share it with our 7 or 8 viewers. Maybe 9 have tuned in by now because you're quite beautiful. So
low-key, I just got really excited when you brought out the shoe.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh! And so my ADHD brain completely
here we go.
Kind of zoned out.
Okay.
And I was like, oh man, what does he want me to do now? So I need to like.
Oh, you didn't hear a word I said.
I mean, I heard you, but I didn't.
You didn't like absorb it.
Like I heard you say it.
I was talking, but all you heard is asparagus soup, nightcrawler, tomato. I got you. So basically, you look at the word and see if it spawns a story from your journey in life, a memory, an event, a friend, something. So what's the word?
I love it. It says embarrassed by dad.
Oh, okay. Here we go. This should lead to something good.
Oh, man. Embarrassed my dad.
I mean, what kid hasn't been embarrassed by their father at some point? And you as a little Mexican boy, there's got to be a story somewhere. I mean.
Embarrassed by dad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you close with your dad?
I love my dad.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, good, good.
I'm trying to see. Okay, maybe it was,
And this could be from your whole life, like when you were a little kid, it could be when you're a teenager, it could be, you know, any stage in your life, not like today, it could be any time.
What's in my...
Sorry, did I trigger your ADHD again? I distracted you. So what we're doing is we pulled a word out of a shoe, and then you're going to read your word.
I'm now frozen.
Yeah. By the way, my favorite Disney movie. God, I love watching it again. Well, it's a 2-hour movie if you could. Okay, well.
Okay.
Embarrassed by your dad. It's got to be something.
Because I keep thinking about middle school. And
my
subconscious mind is very active right now with middle school memories. True story. Do you ever remember having those like lunch dances or those after school dances? They were for like $1.
No.
Okay.
$1.
Yeah. And you'd go and you'd dance. And like, I just remember vividly Usher playing like, yeah. And then like all these like little 6th graders, 7th graders, just like pretending like they know how to dance.
Yeah.
And then everyone shining light on them, like, stop touching, you know?
Oh, the teachers were, like, monitoring the dance?
Yeah.
So they didn't want to allow any heavy petting or anything?
No, like, you
just... Yeah, they just turned the light on and some guy's rubbing your hairy legs. Your dad's like, go home. Go home right now and shave.
They're like, this isn't dancing. This is a kink. Okay, this is
no.
Not
so
dancing.
What happened? What happened? So no, you're at the thing.
I remember my phone died, and my dad. I remember it. I texted him during lunch, going, "Hey, Dad, there's gonna be a dance after school, so I'm gonna be about 10 minutes late to get to the front." To where he picked me up.
He picked me up
at the front, and he goes, "No, Brenda, I have to get back to work." And I'm like, oh, whatever, he can wait. And so I'm at this dance, and I'm. Then my phone died.
Uh-oh.
I was like, oh, no. I was like, what time is it? Oh, well, Usher's playing. So, like, I'm just dancing. And I remember my girlfriend came up to me and she goes, dude, I think I just saw your dad screaming at the teachers outside. I'm like, no. What?
Oh, no.
And so I ran outside and my dad was like, you are in so much trouble. Oh. Get over here. And he like grabbed me and then he was like, I'm late for work. I made him wait like 20, 30 minutes without me.
And this is in front of all the other kids. Yeah. And he dragged you out of there.
Who were then like waiting, dying to get inside the dance because there would be lines to get inside the dance. Wow.
And you're getting dragged out.
Yeah.
Wow. And you know the dad when that happens, like that they see you on the other side of the gym and they walk like the Terminator. They're like, dun, 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 dun. Where's my hairy little boy? Right?
Is that...
That's you.
What he thought too?
Yeah, all he wanted was a daughter and he got a greasy, hairy little freak. A boy. That's probably why he dragged you out of there. No son of mine's going to dance around in his Hooter shorts and his Sasquatch legs.
So my dad wanted a girl.
Yeah. And your mom wanted a boy.
Oh, my God, Arland.
I think you're probably the ultimate candidate for becoming trans.
We cannot
put that on the
podcast. We cannot.
We will get canceled.
I will get canceled
so fast. You know you were canceled like an hour ago, right?
No.
We both were.
So let's go back to my dad wanted a girl.
A girl, yeah.
My mom wanted a boy. Okay, yeah. So we're going to do that and we're not going to, say those words. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So my mom wanted a boy.
Maybe a couple of them.
And my dad wanted a girl.
Yeah. Maybe a couple of them. You are, well.
I'm a woman.
Well.
I'm a woman.
Who knows what you are, really?
I'm a woman.
You look a lot like a dolphin with a wig to me.
That didn't sound like a dolphin at all.
No, that sounded like a child getting run over by a stroller at Home Depot.
Or Disneyland.
Yeah.
Where they shouldn't belong.
Yeah. Children shouldn't belong at Disneyland.
No, they shouldn't. That is a strictly adult theme park.
It's a rave.
That's for us.
Yeah,
that's for our inner children.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's right.
That's for, we are children. No, seriously, let's get philosophical for a second.
Okay. We are children.
We are all children.
Yes.
In adult, quote unquote, bodies.
Okay.
That get backache if you sit for too long or stand for too long.
Okay.
Right? But we are all children.
Okay.
We deserve Disneyland.
We deserve corn. Because we are children of the corn. Wait. Mm. Hold on. All right. Plug away. Tell people where they can see you, where they can see you do stand-up, where they can connect with you if they want to, get involved with your wonderful services you provide. Let them hear it.
Aw, thank you, Harlan.
Yeah,
thank
you. Please.
Thank you to everyone who listened. Y'all are amazing.
Yeah, they're great. All seven of them.
Hey, Shane Shamwow
is
incredible. I'm a huge fan.
Oh, that guy's so dry, you could almost build a sandbox on his tube of Vagisil.
Hey, you know, as long as...
Cut that part out.
As long as you don't get him near dolphins, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know? So I know y'all just saw me get hella silly on the Harlan podcast, but I can also get very serious and philosophical. And that's where you can find me also at Official Brenda Z on Instagram. You can also reach out to me there. Again, you have my link tree. You have where you can find me performing. I will upload everything on Official Brenda Z.
Nice.
My website, Brenda Sarai Zuniga. You can find more info there as well. We are all in this together from the bottom of my heart. Much love, and I really appreciate you having me. Thank you.
I love it. Love having you.
Yeah.
Would you close out, because I have seven viewers, but three of them are Latino.
Oh.
If you could say much love, thanks for having me, just that last part in Spanish.
Mucho gusto. No, that's.
That was Portuguese.
That was Spanish.
Well, but that was not a where I come from.
Type of,
That was Denny's Portuguese. If you could just tell the three Latino viewers.
Mucho gusto en conocer a todos.
And in English, that's mushrooms and toast.
That means so great meeting all of you. Is that what you?
All three of them?
All three of them. Los quiero mucho. I love you all. Harlan is the best. Harlan es lo peor que he visto en toda mi vida. Y no sé por qué. Just kidding.
A little angry at the end.
I love that. That said that you're the best.
I am the best. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here. What a delight. Thank you so much. Folks, this has been the Harlan Highway Podcast. And until next time, get fixed and chicken chow mein, baby.
Bye, everybody.
And don't hit any hairy little boys on the drive home. Let it out. Let it out. Let it out, Billy. That's it. Cry it out, little boy.